Welcome to the programme, Richard, this evening to talk us through all of this. So the researchers at this UK university, they sampled bacteria in the interior of various vehicles. And we might start with the car boot, because that was found to have particularly high levels of harmful bacteria. Perhaps not that surprising that that area of the car would be dirty, is it?
No, sort of looking at their studies, you said that the car boots come out as highest. I suppose part of it as well with the car boot, it's out of sight, out of mind. If you are going to give your car a clean, you're going to do the inside interior and probably give the boot the least sort of attention. And also the boots where we're going to put our shopping and stuff when it comes in. We might also, when we've been out with our pets or anything like that, put our welly boots and stuff like that in the boot, and they're going to also add to bacteria. So yeah, that sort of makes sense.
Or the pet, indeed, could go
in the boot.
And of course you have the scooters and you have the buggies that have been wheeling through on the ground and picking up all sorts of whatever, and all of that goes into the boot. Would you have a concern then if you have things like that, we'll say the buggy that has been wheeling all over the park, and then taking that out and putting your shopping in on top of it? Is that something we should be mindful of?
Again, it's just looking at these things, isn't it? I know that shopping, we're generally going to have it in bags and stuff like that, but even shopping as well, if we're loading shopping in, you're going to have stuff that could break and leak as well, and that's just going to add to bacteria. So yeah, it's just to be mindful of things.
Richard, I saw a breakdown of the top five or six or seven filthiest parts of a car, filthiest areas. Now, I don't know if you've seen that or if you're across it. You might, if the boot is number one, what's number two to five? Can you give us a breakdown?
They've done the top six. The second one they've got is the driver's seat. And again, I suppose the driver's going to be the person spending the most time in the vehicle. Especially when you're on the go, you're travelling, we might be eating and drinking as well in the car. There's a lot of drive-through restaurants, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get bits of food and bits of debris dropping that way. And I suppose it's going to be one of the areas you're touching, because we're covered in bacteria, so it's a good area for transfer.
So boot number one, driver seat number two, number three
is the gear stick. Again, this is going to be a contact surface. It's a touch surface. It's, again, we're readily putting our hands on it, and that's the thing. We transfer a lot of bacteria via our hands, so that again makes perfect sense. The back seat then comes in at number four. And that's going to be from your passengers, especially it's where we put our children, our little ones.
I'd have expected that to be top of the list, I have to say.
Yeah.
Get into the back seat where there is 323 bacteria, you little lovelies.
I was going to say, but again, we're probably a little bit more conscious when we've got the small people in the car that we clean up after them. So it might not have been as high as I would have thought. It would have been higher as well.
And then we have the dashboard, don't we? And the steering wheel, which I suppose is not that surprising. But just to give people a sense of the scale of this, so on a toilet seat, an average toilet seat, you'd expect to find 34 bacteria. In your boot, 1,425 bacteria. Yeah. And the driver's seat is 649 bacteria identified. So, I mean, this is dirty.
Dirty. We're getting a bit OTT, aren't we here, Richard? Because if you kind of pick something off the ground and you eat it like a piece of potato or whatever, there's so many bacteria in the ground. No big deal. There's bacteria everywhere. Am I right?
I grew up with the 5 second rule as well. So it's perfectly normal. Yeah, there's bacteria everywhere, and we're covered in our bacteria. We've got our natural bacterial flora that lives on and in us. And it's transient bacteria that we pick up that's the ones that sort of will make us sick. So it's those that we need to be more wary of. And it is from things like touching these touch points where we're picking up these bacteria that have been transferred, and then that's when they get into our system.
Okay. So I know during the pandemic then your company diversified into car disinfection and obviously pest disinfection as well in cars. Firstly, how often should we be cleaning our car then? Like, do we need to be worried about all this bacteria on the gear stick and the steering wheel, and how thoroughly do you need to be cleaning it?
Again, it's like everything. The more you use your vehicle and the more in your vehicles, and the more you should be cleaning it. Cleaning it regularly. We're all on the go. A lot of us will sit and eat and drink in the car, and then it's just all drop the rubbish in the footwell. of the passenger seat. And as it's things like you said, with the caller saying in about banana skins and other litter, they're all great breeding grounds for bacteria. If you spill a drink as well, you're adding moisture into that, and bacteria love a bit of moisture, a bit of heat as well.
So what would you do about that now, for example? Because I bring coffee into work in my little flask.
Yeah.
And I hadn't got it closed properly the last day, and the whole floor now of the passenger seat is just covered in coffee.
Yeah.
Now, it's mostly coffee and a little bit of milk, but it's sort of gone.
Exactly.
And I'm tempted to just forget that that ever happened and just move on. Like, the car doesn't smell of coffee. I know it happened, but can I just forget about that now?
Smells of roses.
Again, with anything like that, it's probably best to just give it a good clean and give it a little spray with an antibacterial. Again, a little bit of milk, but milk's a great medium for growing bacteria, and that's why milk's pasteurised to kill those bacteria.
You know, I knew that was the answer, Richard. I was hoping it wasn't, but I knew it was.
Can I ask you, Richard, and I'm very interested that during the pandemic you were called out for pest infection in cars. Now, what attracts rats, for example, into a car?
Well, we've always sort of done car pest disinfection, but it sort of stepped up again because cars were sitting there a lot more idle. So again, especially the weather we've just had where it's got a little bit colder, cars are quite warm, so there's plenty of sort of cavities and warmth that a rodent can sort of exploit. And you've also, as we said, if we've had little people or we've dropped crumbs and food in, then there's food availability there as well. And they're also
how do you get them out?
And stuff like that.
Have you been called to a situation where the driver gets into a car, not really a clean driver, has left bits of banana and bits of, for example, like Sarah, leaving bits of coffee and all that in the car, and then suddenly they're driving along the road and they feel a little tug on their leg and they look down and they see it's a rat?
This is horror, what you're describing.
Again, you do get occasional things where that happens. A lot of times with vehicles, it will be people will go to start it and the engine won't turn over because a rodent's gone through wiring or piping that's needed in the car. So we'll do that too.
Okay.
When we've got rodents in a vehicle, then we're going to have to look at sort of trapping them or putting in a poison. But the main thing with it is then disinfecting it, just because of pathogen transfer.
Okay, I'm getting the Dettol and whatever else I need to get out this evening. I am convinced. Richard, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through all of that. You have been warned. Clean your car. That's Richard Faulkner, who's field consultant for Rentokil.